God's word is a fire in my bones,
and I cannot keep it in.
We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Welcome in to Do Not Keep Silent. My name is Jason Dezurek, your host for the program. Appreciate you tuning in with me here. You can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Also, just wanted to direct you to our parent ministry, Worldview Warriors. That's worldviewwarriors.org, worldviewwarriors.org. You can find many free resources there. We also have many paperback books. They're available on Kindle as well, and we're having new books available a lot. So go check that out. I encourage you to do that. Today, my guest today, his name is Pastor Larry Birch. How you doing, Larry?
Doing just great, Jason.
Awesome, awesome. And for those of you who have tuned in before, you know, Larry and I have been, spending much time this year together, trying every Friday for every week up until now. I mean, starting at the beginning of the year, man, can you believe it's been 9 months that we've been hanging out?
School's almost over.
Yes. And so it's just been great. Larry has been taking time to disciple me. I just really appreciate it. I'm hoping he's learned a little from me as well. I don't know if he has, but, you know, well, I'm guessing he has, but not as much as I have. I'm very, very thrilled and just glad and honored that he'd be willing to take so much time out of his, not just the weeks, but the whole year. So I appreciate it because I know you're a busy guy too. So
yeah, it happens.
Yes, yes, it does. And so, friends, again, Larry and I have been meeting for, again, almost, I think, the very first, maybe the second Friday of January.
Okay.
And we meet, unless something comes up, but pretty much every Friday this year we've met. And it's just been, again, really great. And last week, actually, we were sitting down and just talking about, well, fun on the internet. I don't know how else to put that. And, you know, Larry was like, you know, social media, it's great, it's nice, but, man, sometimes people are not very nice. And so, friends, with that in mind, I want to give us a foundation to kind of springboard off, if you will. 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Again, that's 1 Peter 3:15. That's something our ministry tries to do. At times we fail, though, and that's where you need to confess your sin and ask for forgiveness. We'll get into that, but Larry, you and I were talking, and you were getting more passionate than usual when we were talking, at least from what I'm used to, and this seems kind of near and dear to your heart.
Well, it is. I am my relationship with Facebook.
Okay.
I don't do a lot. I check to make sure my friends have birthdays and things like that. I went through a year of posting just about every weekday, as our church did a read through the Bible in a year program, and I did a little bit of a devotional on the daily reads
in video
through that week in video. Yeah. Did that stream live? Well, I didn't live stream it. I recorded it,
sure,
and uploaded it to Facebook. Now we're doing a devotional study in Proverbs. That's once a week, and that goes straight to our YouTube channel, which I can plug that. It's Chatfield Evangelical, and we also have all the recordings there of our Sunday morning programs, as well as that devotional series.
Right. And, yeah, friends, I forgot to actually let you know, Larry is a pastor at Chatfield Evangelical Pietist Church, and that's just north of Bucyrus, the big
about
metropolis of Bucyrus.
Yeah, about 8 miles north of Bucyrus.
Yeah.
Used to have a traffic light.
And I would say Chatfield's a metropolis, too, but it's not.
Much more of a suburb.
Yeah. with a lot of cornfields around.
Yes.
But, friends, Larry, how long have you been there?
This is our 19th year.
19th year, okay. And there is a Facebook page available.
Yes.
If people want to go to it. And then what is the, I think you already said it, but what is the website for?
The website is, excuse me, and of course it's all lowercase.
Yeah.
Pietistchurch.org. That's all one word.
Okay.
And that'll get you there. That's got linked to our YouTube channel and quite a bit of information,
sure,
about the church.
Right, right. And friends, I know some of you out there are going, Pietist? Well, I want to encourage you. I'll find the old recording of us talking about just that word pietist, and you can learn more about it. Some people are like, what in the world is that? And, you know, it's not a word we use normally, right, Larry?
Not a lot.
No.
No, just a few old Germans, really.
Right. Yeah. And so again, I'll put a link up probably on Facebook there for Do Not Keep Silent for you to find the old recording of Larry and I talking about that. And again, it's not a bad word or anything.
No, it's not a bad word. And that was pretty early on, I suppose. That's back in January, February. So.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're right. So, again, friends, we want to dig into this as far as just, behaving well on social media. Maybe that's the title.
That's
of
good.
This.
That's a good title. Yeah, yeah.
Representing Christ well on social media.
It's getting something better. Like you're working on it. It's
something
a work in progress.
Like that.
It's good.
So, Larry, you're familiar with social media. I mean, you've recorded things, posted on social media, and you've told us a little bit about your relationship with social media itself. So, what are some things on there that have been a concern for you?
Well, before I do that, can
sure.
I put
our
text in a context?
Oh, that sounds good.
This is 1 Peter chapter 3, and I want to start at verse 13. I'm going to read through verse 17. So, buckle in. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, that it should be God's will, than for doing evil. Okay, now that's the full context of the scripture that came to mind.
Right.
We talked about this subject a while back. My primary concern for believers, and I'm just talking to believers at this point in time, is that when we have a presence on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and all honesty, Facebook's the only one I have any experience with at all. I don't tweet or Twitter or whatever that is,
right?
Or TikTok or anything else like
Instagram, Snapchat,
all that good stuff. And I'm not condemning any of it.
No,
but I'm saying I do know Facebook to some extent. My concern is that believers, when we are out there in public, and unless you really limit your comments to only your friends can see them, the world can see what you're saying, and And I represent Jesus Christ. That has got to be, I hate to use the word grid, but everything you put on Facebook, put it through that grid. Is this under the lordship of Christ? Is this promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is this promoting an image of the family of Christ to the world that would be attractive? Not look pretty, but be attractive to that deep need inside every lost person. They know something is missing. They're searching for it. Are we showing to them the answer by the way we live, by the way we post? I guess I'm really concerned that we don't put our own personal agenda out front of that. That is a big concern. I'm coming off as kind of self-righteous and holy. So sorry about that.
No, not at all. I say that because for me at least, we're here together in the studio talking. So, with what you're saying, this is a struggle, an inner struggle I have personally had and have dealt with, I can honestly say, for years. Because not just Facebook, social media has seriously changed trends over the years. In 2007, I got on social media because I was like, okay, Lord, I know you're calling us to go and reach out. And this is one way I can get to know people who are not Christians for sure. Because as Larry just said, I mean, it's in public. Okay, so you're seeing people that, and they're seeing you. You don't agree on everything. I mean, fairly, you don't agree on everything with everyone on the planet about everything. That's fair, right?
I always say that's way past fair.
Even Larry and I mean, he's discipling me. I've learned a lot from him. There's things I know we disagree on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but that doesn't mean I don't like him. He doesn't like me. That doesn't mean we can't have a good conversation that's productive. I mean, we love each other in Christ. And so I just want to encourage you, friends, if you're struggling with you know, what you're posting or how do you do that? I want you to know, even I struggle with it at times. And here's partly why. I want to just share this with you, friends, because I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ did ministry in a certain way. What I mean is he reached out to the masses. I mean, we see how he deals with the public. But as he gets down closer to those who are closer to him, then he starts kind of really holding their feet to the fire, meaning the ones that want to follow him. I mean, I don't mean to go sidetracked here, but he even called Peter, "Get behind me, Satan."
Yeah, that was a little harsh, wasn't it?
Behind
yeah.
me, I don't know if he said Satan or evil. I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
but
yeah, I think he directly said Satan.
I mean, that is not nice. but it's the truth of, hey, you are tempting me to do something that is against the will of God. Get behind me. I know. No, we're not doing that. So that's part of the struggle for me. And I mean, I'm talking again, a years of struggle. Because the truth is what Larry just said of, we need to love each other, and hopefully the world sees that. That's a huge deal. It really is. And so I hope, friends, you're all listening, and I'm even listening too. So, Larry, I'm sorry I went sidetracked on that, but I appreciate that you've brought this into context. So is there anything more with that context you want to dig into? Well, I'm sure there is because the way you preach. So, you know, again, I appreciate the verse 15. You know, that's where I started. But what Larry did, everyone, is the right thing. He brought that into context and shared the verses around it.
Yeah, we're in an oppositional world. I mean, the world and our culture in particular is increasingly hostile to the gospel. It's increasingly hostile to believers in Jesus Christ. And that, and of course, we're going to be starting a Sunday evening study based on a terrific study of the first seven chapters of Daniel by Alistair Begg called Brave by Faith, and that's really at the core.
Yeah,
is this increasingly hostile culture that we find ourselves in? But yeah, we are still. Jesus, so wise, he looks at his disciples in the Gospel of John in that what we call the upper room discourse. I'm sure he didn't title it that, and he says, "Love one another." And I'm going to tell you, it's not a choice; it's a command. And he says, "You've got to understand something by this action." You validate the words, because this is how the world will know that you are my disciples, if you love, not if you agree all the time, but if you love one another. And brothers and sisters in Christ, there's stuff going on out there in social media between believers that doesn't look very loving. I'm not going to give a bunch of examples. I don't want to be any more offensive than necessary. Can I go down a rabbit trail here?
Of course.
Years ago,
I like rabbit trails.
here we go. Years ago, I was with what is now called One Mission Society. We were doing deputation work. That means raising your support team to go to Taiwan. And the director of that type of work is introducing me to a group of men. And he said, "I want to introduce you to one of God's angry young men." I thought, really? Wow, I guess, though, I've grown. Now I'm one of God's grumpy old guys. So, you know, I asked a few folks the other Sunday if they thought I got too angry. And I reviewed it myself. Well, not as bad as I thought it was. But we do need that passion. We do need that passion. Not anger, unless it is a holy anger and it is totally submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and is directed to people within the body who are getting out of bounds. There's no point in getting angry with the lost. They're lost. Why would I get angry with them? They're dead in their sins. They're in the world without God and without hope. I understand bad behavior there. I understand hostility. The question is, as Peter was writing, how do you respond to that? You know. But we first have to respond well to brothers and sisters in Christ before we can respond well to those who are outside the family of God.
So with that then, you know, where, you know, I think it'd be good if you're good with it, not right now, but friends, I think Larry and I were going to keep going with this later on in the program, but I want to come back and talk about this passion you're talking about, holy anger, a little bit, because I think some people are confused with it. So if it's all right, we'll talk about that in a little bit. I got it written down. Don't worry. I won't forget.
Okay.
I'm just curious to know your take on that. So friends, we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But, you know, if you can, I mean, you know, and verse 13 says, who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? Even if you should suffer for what's right, you are blessed. Can you flesh that out for us a little bit?
I think it's a rhetorical question with an understood answer. The answer is those who are opposed to the kingdom will seek to harm you. It's not Peter who said, well, there's nobody out here in the world that's going to harm me. What did they end up doing with Peter? At least by tradition, they hung him upside down on a cross.
Wait, that is really good. Meaning because I have always, and I mean, I'm even learning here too, friends. I've always taken that as pretty much no one. But that's not true, because I always struggle with that of, well, some people do harm you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what you just said there is spot on. That, I mean, who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? Those who don't know Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make them evil or bad.
It makes them lost.
Yes. Can you kind of explain that a little bit for our listeners? I mean, so, because you even said they're dead. Now, for some, that's offensive.
Spiritually dead is spiritually dead, and it's biblical, so I don't have to worry about it. I didn't write it in there. I don't take any credit for it.
So, okay, I think that's really good, because some people, again, they would say, well, that's offensive to me. You're saying they're dead. And then you just said, well, that's scriptural, though. So can you kind of, again, dig into why is it so important that with what we believe is based off of the Word of God? Why is this book so important?
Well, I think you and I are both sort of students of history.
And I try.
You just asked a rhetorical question.
I did.
Because you've got a pretty good idea what the answer is already. and just look at human history. Look at human behavior. Bad people behave badly. That's expected. When, quote, unquote, good people behave badly, it catches us off guard. And when redeemed people behave badly, it's a violation of the command of Christ to love one another. And then we are to hold forth this word of the gospel to be salt and light, not thorns and poison to the world and to each other. I mean, you really take care lest you bite and devour one another. I've seen a lot of biting and devouring going on in the past year and a half over things that shouldn't be issues at all.
Oh, I completely agree. I think that's totally true. And that, you know, I think that's a big struggle in our society today. I personally think, you know, again, you talked about this book, Brave by Faith, and there is a struggle. There's a true struggle going on, I think, even within the church. And I believe, we don't need to get into this, but I believe the struggle is actually, if you are outside of the United States, it's a different struggle than inside of the United States. Does that make any sense?
It does make a lot of sense. I believe the gap is closing as our structures in society. I think we've used culture to death. Our structures in society are increasingly hostile to Jesus Christ, to those who follow Jesus Christ, to the Bible, and to those foundational realities of faith that well, for a long time, our society was based on.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved away from that. That shouldn't be a big surprise, again, for your student of history. If you're a student of the Bible, you know that things are going to deteriorate. And the question is, how do we shine a light in increasing darkness as this goes on? I'm not trying to get back to the 1950s. Don't get me wrong. I had a great time. I was a little kid. But that's not coming back. And it wasn't perfect either, by the way. The question is where we are right now as believers in Jesus Christ in this increasingly angry place. How do we live? You know, that Francis Schaeffer's question, how should we then live? It's still a good question. And that's a book you can get out there. I don't know if it's still in print or not, but just Google Francis Schaeffer and How Should We Then Live. I know it's an old one because I had that as a series in seminary.
Right. Right. Again, friends, sitting down here with Pastor Larry Burke. She's the pastor at Evangelical Pietist Church. Well, right here in the state of Ohio, just north of Bucyrus in the huge metropolis of Chatfield there. And you can find them at, you said, pietuschurch.org is where the the website is. And again, also there's a Facebook page available. Is that right?
Yes.
And I think it's Evangelical Pietist Church.
Yes.
I think.
Yes, that's correct. Facebook page is that.
Yes.
The YouTube channel is just Chatfield Evangelical.
Okay. Okay. And so, you know, let's kind of keep moving here with as far as on social media and, you know, us behaving well, I think is a good way to put it. So with it, how do we treat people with gentleness and respect while on social media? What I'm, I guess I'm asking is, because you had said, you know, basically there's believers, there's non-believers. Do you think it's appropriate to treat a believer different than a non-believer on social media?
That's a good question. In some ways, yes. Because of the public nature of social media, I would prefer, if you believe a brother or sister is maybe heading in a wrong direction, privately contact them. Mm-hmm. Don't do it out in public. And that, again, that's kind of biblical. You know, if you have something against your brother, go to your brother.
Right.
And or your sister and talk to them about it. And if they don't respond, then you go with another brother or sister. And if they don't respond, you know, this is the discipline of the church, and we do not practice church discipline at all.
Well, in Matthew 18 is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So for those wanting to go look.
Yeah, go look up Matthew 18, read through that. So, oh, for goodness sakes, who would do that? Well, we should. So we keep, if we have something we need to discuss with someone, keep it private. Keep it. Don't go some Donnybrook over social media between believers in Christ. That's just not the way the Lord intends us to act.
So let's keep moving then. Verse 16 says, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Now with that, do you think he's referring to believers, non-believers, both? You know,
I think primarily non-believers is the frame of reference there, and it's not if they, but it's they will. You know, somebody might say something bad about you. You read the text. They're going to say some bad stuff about you. You need to present your life in such a way, your words and your actions really validate your words or invalidate your words, so that you can say, I have been obedient to Christ. I have followed the word and in my actions and in my deeds. And you may say what you may, but God is my judge, not you. And if I can stand before him clothed in the righteousness of Christ, I'm okay with whatever you want to say. You can just go ahead and say it. It can't stop you anyway.
Right, absolutely. And again, it goes on to say, for it is better if it's God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, friends, and I've shared this in the past myself, Jesus Christ is pretty clear. In this world, you will have trouble. You will have trouble. Not like Larry just said, not that you might or possibly. You will. And that's, well, let's just be honest, that's a hard pill to swallow, Larry. As a human being, I don't like that.
It is a hard pill to swallow, and it's really countercultural. I got to use the culture word again. Oh, well. Because we want to be liked. We want to be liked. A big trap the church falls into is trying to be so nice that the world can't possibly say anything against us. Well, that means we have to surrender the authority of the Word of God. We have to surrender the supremacy of Christ. We have to surrender the gospel. What do you got left? Nothing, it would be the answer there. By the way, that was a rhetorical question.
Right, right.
And we have to be a bold, gentle, loving people. I know that sounds like oxymoronic territory. Bold in our faith, bold in holding our testimony, but gentle in its delivery, gentle in its presentation. So I don't walk up to someone on the street and say, by the way, you know you're dead. Probably not a good place to start.
Right.
Where are you hurting? You look troubled. We're both here. We've got a little time. I know you don't know me. You have no reason to trust me. But if you just want to share a little something, I'd love to pray for you, pray with you. I understand the fear. I understand the brokenness. I understand what's going on. I've had problems too. But let me just listen to you for starters. Let me hear where you're at, and then maybe together we can move down a little farther down the road to someplace that's much better.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, with that, Larry, too, I do want to ask, because you had said, maybe we can wrap up this little time here with this question and hopefully an answer. Well, not hopefully. I know you'll answer it. I'm just, you know, for someone who is sharing the truth and they're being attacked for sharing the truth, because you had said, well, you know, don't think you're not going to offend somebody. Can you help our listeners understand that there is a difference between you as a person offending someone and the scripture offending someone?
Yes, the scripture is offensive because it shows us who we are and shows us what we need and that we can't do anything about it on our own. That's very offensive. We become offensive when we become obnoxious. We'll go back to that 40-pound, 20-pound Bible thing. If I'm beating people over the head with my 40-pound, you know, gold-edged Thompson Chain Reference Bible, that's obnoxious. It's obnoxious if I'm always walking around showing them, you know, I am so much better than you. You know, I can tell you how to be better, but you got to admit, I'm pretty good. That's obnoxious. We don't need to be obnoxious in our witness. We need to be open and genuine and, I know, listening. Listen to people.
Right. Again, friends, it's Pastor Larry Birch. This is Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. And Larry, you can hang with us for more, right?
Sure.
All right.
Be made new in Jesus Christ.
I will play your games. Just let me be.
Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.